Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
We are here. We are here. Shift Real Talk Tuesdays. We are starting a little late, but there's a reason, y'all. We got some fire in here today, y'all. We got some fire. We are talking about, from a male's perspective, dealing and facing your feelings. But we have some questions that we're going to ask these young men coming up. And stay tuned, y'all. We coming with a great episode today, y'all. How y'all doing, y'all? This is Pastor Jay. My wife, Ladies Free, she won't be with us today, but that's okay. We have a great topic and a great show for y'all today. We invited some husbands with us today, and we're going to talk today, y'all. We're going to talk today, and these are some great... And the thing about these men, they all are married. That is key. So we ain't talking from a relationship experience, y'all. We talking from a marriage experience, and we coming from a God perspective. That's one thing I love about these men. So the beginning part, y'all, we're going to ask each and every one to introduce themselves, and then we're going to go from there, y'all. So we're going to, don't, y'all talk to us, y'all. Talk to the audience.
Let's start with Terrence.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, of course, those of you who don't know, my name is Terrence Samuels. I've been married to my wife, Sharitha, for going on six and a half, seven years now in July. Local pastor, preacher, real estate agent, business guy, and a good friend. Is that right, Billy?
Yes, sir.
That's
absolutely.
What I'm talking about.
Man. Yes. Ain't nothing like the men, y'all. We lead the way.
Oh, so it's on me now, right?
Yeah,
Oh, okay. So my name is Robert Frank Sr., a.k.a. Rev Rob, a.k.a. Pastor Rob, a.k.a. all of the above, whatever you want to call me today. Amen. but I've been married to my wife for 23
wow,
years in
good.
March. So it's a blessing to be here. Just, hey, see what the end going to be.
Yeah, right. Yes. And of course, y'all know we're gonna let this powerhouse to my left, y'all. Of course, we're gonna reintroduce him because he's been here a couple of times, and those episodes are watched very highly, y'all. So we're gonna let Pastor BJ introduce himself again.
Mm-hmm. It's good to be home. I am Pastor BJ, the proud pastor of the Love Fellowship Church, right here in your city. Houston, Texas. The address is 10711 Dulcimer. If you ain't doing no Sunday, come by and check us out. But I've been married to my lovely wife, Lady Alicia Beatrice Noel.
Oh, he said the middle. He gave the whole government.
He knew the whole name, but forgot the years.
11 years. 11 yeah. years.
Cool.
It'll be 12 this year, August 14, 2010. It'll be 12 years.
Wow.
So.
Wow, use your fingers.
Now. We had to help him out. We didn't want him to remember the whole name and forget the marriage. One thing you can't do as a husband is forget how many years you've been married.
Don't you forget.
I'm just Pastor Jay, y'all, and I'm just here a servant of God, and I've been married for 6 years this year.
My God.
Amen.
It seems like we've been married forever, but that's a great forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But y'all, we're going to dive into this, man. We got these great men of God here, great married men. And we're going to dive into these conversations. I got a couple of questions, and we're going to how we gonna say this. We're gonna ask questions and everybody just kind of give their perspective of it. But I'm sure it's all gonna line up because I know God brought this here today, y'all.
This was ordained by
yes, it was.
God.
And listen, y'all, y'all in the view, you viewing audience, if you have any questions that you wanna ask, man, feel free to type them in. Thomas, how you doing? Kim Scott, thank you. Yes. Kim, amen. We got a great show for y'all. Kim, if you got any questions, y'all just ask, and we're gonna do the best that we can to allow God to use us to ask the question. So my first question to these guys.
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-oh. My first question, y'all. There was an episode that we did a couple of weeks ago, and I hope this young man logs on. And he was talking about he was dating, but his place of safety was to talk to the pastor about information about his relationship. And he said by him giving the information, it became the Sunday morning service. The Sunday morning message. So what would you tell young men? How would they deal with, you know, what would be the first thing to kind of deal with their issues? Would it be wise for them to, you know, how would they be able to know who to talk to, who not to talk to? Because, you know, sometimes as men, sometimes we need that confidant, somebody that we could talk to. So how could we tell this guy or men that really probably think churches and pastors are the one to go to and the pastor uses it as a Sunday morning sermon?
Seek professional help.
Amen. Yeah.
We the church folk, we have mock therapy for too long, and it's needed. Of course, I say this all the time, and I get ridicule, but we have used the altar for so long, and the altar is great, it's powerful. There's power in the altar, there's power in the oil, but sometimes we need to seek professional help, because after we arrive at the altar and seek and get the oil, we leave just oily demons. That's what I tell folks. Because they helped us with our spiritual, but they still didn't help fix that issue that we've been dealing with for 10, 20 years.
Yes,
and now we try to take this into a marriage and father children. And of course, we lead the pack. And of course, if we lead and broken, then that brokenness will trickle down upon the wife and the kids and all of that stuff.
Yes.
Oily demons.
Pastor T, what you say? Oily demons.
Well, you know, I agree with Pastor BJ. You know, the importance of having professional therapy. But I also will say, I can't stay out of trouble these days.
This is called real talk.
Yeah, you can get in trouble.
Pastor, you can get in trouble here. There ain't no trouble here.
A pastor who uses information shared in private for the Sunday morning sermon.
Uh-oh, you're going to get in trouble.
Is out of line.
Yes. Doom.
You know, like, so typically in the African-American community, our pastors are typically our mentors, the people we look up to.
Yeah.
And in our community, you think about where we come from, where a lot of the services that are available today, such as counseling and all those things, not many of us had access to 40 years ago. So we are prone to go to our spiritual leaders for a lot of things that they may not be equipped to do.
Wow.
But we look at today, there's a lot of resources out now, but still, I bet not here. Something I shared in private being preached over the pulpit. It's out of line. There's this agreement of confidentiality that we as spiritual leaders should have. Let's not even say spiritual leaders, but as people, if you are a mentor to somebody, don't spread their business under any circumstance.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And then I want to just add to this that the other error, and I don't want to go too deep, is we assume as we evolve that the pastor is the only person in the church that can mentor.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And that's not true.
Yeah, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
In fact, everybody in a church should be mentoring somebody.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe I may not tell my pastor certain things. I may go to one of the elderly couples in the church, say, here's a problem going on in my life. Can you guide me and disciple me through that? That's a word. So that's my response.
Disciple. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I say? I say a lot of times we don't allow God to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We get impatient.
Mm-hmm.
And then we feel we got to go talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But we don't, when we tell our, I believe if we tell it to God, when we tell it to him, we got to allow him to work on whatever we went to him with the problem with. And I think that's what a lot of young men mess up at.
Yeah.
We get impatient. And because we don't see the results right away, then we feel like now we got to take it out of God's hands
right. And
go take it somewhere else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Slow down, bro.
Slow down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure.
You going to say something, Rob?
Uh-uh. Go ahead. You good?
You know, Pastor T was talking about this in the green room, while we was waiting. He said something to the fact about church culture, and I believe church culture is killing the church. Prime example, okay, I was at a pastor's retreat talking to a pastor, and I told him, and one of the other pastors asked about marriage counseling, couples counseling, and I was like, well, you know, there was an instance where a couple came to me, and Rob was the one that did it. I said, well, I allowed Rob to counsel them because they needed something. They needed it soon because mm-hmm. they wanted to get married sooner. So I felt I wasn't equipped mm-hmm. yeah. in that instance to do it. So yeah. I said, let Rob do it. And I said, there's a new couple that came, and I'm allowed them to counsel somebody else. And he was like, no, I'm going to marry him. I'm going to counsel him. I was like, well, the Lord sent you help. I preached this before. Use the help. God has equipped mm-hmm. us with the things we need. And that church culture where pastors think we got to do everything. We got to be the counselor. Mm-hmm. We got to be this. We got to be that. And that has killed the church and have drove people away. That's why folk are staying at home. Even before the pandemic, they were staying at home.
Yeah. Because we have beat
them down to do stuff we weren't equipped to do. We have to put pride aside. Rob, I need you to counsel these people because I can't do it right now.
And they
need it fast, and you have experience.
Yep. Yeah.
Put your pride aside.
Because
people, there are thirsty people who need what the people around you have.
Right.
I trust the help God gave me.
Yes.
Come on.
We have to do that as leaders.
But, you know, I think the church also, they have, they developed, I call it the pot roast mentality.
Uh-oh.
I heard somebody preach it before. I don't know if it was you or you, one of y'all. Somebody said it, but it was like, grandmama made a pot roast, and they always wanted to know why they, you know, my grandma always cut the ends off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so since grandma cut the ends off, everybody else was like, hey, the daughter cut the ends off. Okay. And then the daughter's daughter cut the ends off. And then finally, the last daughter was like, well, wait a minute. Why are we cutting mm-hmm. the ends off?
Mm-hmm.
And then when she went and did the research on it to find out the ends was cut off because that's how grandmama got it to fit in the pot.
Yeah.
You know, but
it wasn't nothing special about it.
But nothing special about it, just got the ends of the pot. So all these years you've been missing out on meat. So
my God.
So it's
wow.
Yes. So
come on, Rob.
Come on, y'all.
You're talking fire good, here, Robin.
But you're missing meat. And then when it comes to church culture. Like, I applaud Pastor BJ because when he came to me and asked me to help marriage counsel a couple, you know, I was like, oh, okay. So it was an honor. But then I was like, okay. And he many times pastors don't know how to say, hey, I just don't know.
Yeah.
And that becomes a big problem.
Yes.
And like, and this is like because they seen the pot roast,
right.
You know, over here. Wow. And they seen the pot roast over here. Yeah. So they said, well, and then finally somebody said, you know what? I don't want to miss out on no meat no more. Yeah. I just don't know. So what we going to do? Yeah. So I'm going to put somebody in. And it's like, I think the mentality of pastors in the church is like, it's got to be me because they come to see me.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's not what they come to see. They right. they came to get something from God.
Yeah.
But because of you thinking that you have to be in front and thinking that you have to be the person that's set up here to say, hey, look,
Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's just the whole thing in a nutshell. I think that if we understand as pastors or people understand, like, look, we're people. Mm-hmm. And if you know everything, I'm sorry. You didn't stunt your growth because mm-hmm. you learn every day. So,
right. Yeah.
And there's some stuff that you don't know. And I've learned over the years, like, if I don't know, I'm quick to say, look, I don't know. Let me find you somebody that do know.
Hey,
this your thing. This not my thing. I'm moving out the way.
Right.
So, and that's what some people need to do. And I think if we start developing that mentality, we would actually start becoming better as a church body and having a relationship versus having a religion or something like that. So,
Y'all today, for those of y'all are just jumping in with us, man, we got the people are coming on. We have a male married men's panel going on right now.
Married.
we all in here are married, and we just really just kind of keeping it from a male's married perspective, y'all.
Yeah.
So on that note, I have another question I want to dive in. This has been an issue. This has been an issue for most men. Like I counsel a lot of men, mm-hmm. and the main issue that most men deal with in their later years is the fact that they didn't grow up with their father.
Oh, wow.
And the fact that they didn't grow up in their father is affecting every relationship that they get into.
Yeah.
So what advice would you tell? What advice would you tell a young man who has these issues and he is now trying to be married?
Wow.
Now, you want to go deeper?
But this is what this is about.
Oh, you want to go deeper?
Yes, this is deep.
Now, when you talk about the men that has that don't have a father in their life, but let's go to the ones that do have a father in their life.
Okay.
Because when, set myself free, when I was growing up, my father was there.
Yeah.
But even though he was there, the mentality that he taught was you're supposed to work, mm-hmm. come home.
That's it.
Work, come home. Work, come home. So in my mind, that's what a man's supposed to do was work, come home. Work, come home. But it wasn't like the nurturing part to show me he did show me how to be a man as to be a provider.
Yeah.
But then when I had kids of my own, I realized that my kids needed a little bit more.
Yeah.
They needed my time. They needed my attention. They needed to know that dad is going to be there. And like, not saying my dad wasn't there because he was there.
Okay.
But for him not having a father, he didn't have, because his father passed, he didn't have a father to show him how. Yeah. So he was learning this on a fly.
Yeah.
So it was like, I got my kids. I'm going to be here for my kids. And he just went to work and home. Not saying he was a bad dad. By all means he wasn't. Yeah. But it's just that some stuff he didn't know because his father wasn't there. And it wasn't because his father wasn't there, in the flesh because he passed on. But he had to take care of me, my mom, his mama, his sisters. So all that came to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And so when I grew up, I just was like, okay, I see that my kids need this from me. I see that my kids need that from me. And so it's like my father was there, but he came out and played basketball with us when he wasn't tired. Mm-hmm. But his whole idea was like, I got to make sure there's food on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got to make sure that the lights are still on. I got to make sure that this, so I got to work all these different hours. And when he did have time, we enjoyed it. But then it was like some stuff that we didn't know. And then later on when I grew up, I said, Dad, what about this? He was like, I don't know about that.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, you don't know? He was like, no, I don't know about that. So I don't know how to tell you what to do about it. This is what I know, what I've been doing. Mm. So that's from the perspective of somebody that has their dad, wow. but just some stuff my dad didn't know to teach me, and some of the stuff that I don't know, I taught, you know, my son, and now it's kind of like I'm learning as I'm going, you know what I'm saying? So that's from that perspective.
Man, so my story's weird because my mom was 15, my dad was 19, and he went, he didn't know he was my dad till I may have been 6, 7, 8, 9 when he found out he was my dad. So we never had the chance to develop a relationship. But I it crossed my mind. We got to this is very complicated. And for listeners watching, I'm gonna pull out some stuff that are the consequences of absent fathers or present and not active fathers.
Wow.
So number one is a diminished self-concept. Without a father, this says nothing about mothers.
Yeah.
This is proven statistics that without a father, you have a diminished self-concept.
Okay.
You struggle to know who you are.
Wow.
Number two, behavioral problems. Number three, truancy and poor academic performance. 71% of children that are fatherless end up becoming or are prone to becoming high school dropouts. 71%. This has been studied over and over again. And only because I was fatherless did I know this is true because I researched it. Delinquency and youth crime, promiscuity. These are the things that we deal with when fathers are absent or present and not active. exploitation, abuse, emotional trauma, mental health disorders. The list goes on of when fathers are not present. So what we've, what's happening is, to your question is, number one, we've got to be able to acknowledge the symptoms. There's a lot of brothers who are fathers and saying, I'm fine, I got a job.
Yeah.
I'm fine, I got a wife.
Yeah.
I'm fine, I got kids. But you have a diminished self-concept. You're sexually promiscuous.
Yeah.
Because you had no father to help you rein in your emotions. You're angry, you're beating your wife, you're beating your kids. You don't know what to do with your anger. Yeah. And that is, these are things that fathers, the presence and activity of a father, give to us. Now, this concept, I just want to drop that. I have a whole bunch else to say. But I'll say for myself, and I hope somebody can catch this. When I discovered the depth of the void of my father, I did what I call reparent myself. Mm-hmm. I found these items and said, I'm not going to be this anymore. And I did the exact opposite of what the activity was. So where I was sexually promiscuous, I said, I can't be sexually promiscuous. Where I was emotionally broken, I said, I can't be it. And I did the work just to not be a fatherless child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had spiritual support, of course. And, you know, you hear scripture like Psalm 27, I think it's 27 and 10. I can't never call it these days. But it says, when my mother and my father forsake me, the Lord will pick me up. So what does it mean to be fathered by God?
Wow.
You know? So, yeah. I mean, but we can't have a real conversation until we acknowledge that these behaviors are still going on. There's a whole bunch of old people who are fatherless, still have no self-concept, don't know who they are.
The Tisha up there, she said that God will give you father figures.
Mm-hmm.
God gives you father figures. And then somebody else commented, said, if the father is not in the home to raise the sons, it is the mother's responsibility to find out what it takes to raise, whatever it takes to raise a man. Men also need to find out what it takes to raise children or even a son. That is an issue for me.
Yeah.
Because if a woman, first of all, you don't even have the genetic chromosomes
to raise a man,
to teach something that is not even genetically in your genes. So it makes it hard for a woman. There's a void there. A woman cannot fill that void. Cannot fill. And that's where a lot of problems come, when those voids are filled by the person that's not even the person to fill that void.
So, one of the worst things you see around Father's Day is a woman saying,
oh Jesus,
you know, happy mother. You didn't got Mother's Day on the second Sunday. Then you say, now happy Father's Day to me because my baby daddy. No, you don't get a salute on Father's Day.
You
have never been.
And you can never be.
And you'll never be it. You did the best in your role, but you're not equipped. You're not designed to be that person, that son, that child's father.
I believe like this, y'all. Every situation that we go through, it is ordained by God.
Absolutely.
Troubles.
Everything.
Everything that we go through is ordained by God. So a lot of times I believe the absenteeism is ordained by God. Because there's a level of protection also that goes on.
It's a blessing in
disguise. It could be actually a blessing in disguise. So a lot of times, even though those characteristics come up, because I mean, and I'm a living witness, because I was that kid that grew up without my dad. But what I did was, when I got in that situation, I had to like do self-evaluation. Okay, look, I can't take my kids through the same thing that I went through. The absenteeism is not an option for me. I have to be there, because I knew the voids that it had caused me in my life. So if we don't realize, especially first of all, as a doer, if we don't realize it as a doer, we got to realize it some way down the line. And I believe God is the greatest help to any situation that we get into. You know what I'm saying? And realizing that, okay, it wasn't for my demise, but it was for my lesson. It was for me to learn. So a lot of times, again, absenteeism could be the lesson.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, if certain things don't happen for us, we won't move.
Right.
We won't do these. We won't step up.
Well, you know what? I'm finna say something I shouldn't say. But
say it.
But you know, also, like when you said, the absentee is like a blessing in this, like best blessing in disguise. Because if you really look at it, most guys, when they grow up, they get a mentality saying that, look, I gotta be successful, however it needs to be. I need to be successful because I gotta buy my mom a house.
Okay,
that's first thing they say. Yeah. So when it comes to athletes, they put in the work, even though like LeBron or whoever, their dad is not there, so they keep putting in the work.
Yeah.
So they saying, look, I have no other choice but to do this. And I heard a comedian say it. He said, look, he had a son or something. I can't remember the comedian's name. But He said, I had a son. And my son, he said, hey, I'm going to play basketball, daddy. And he was like, okay, son, we're going to play basketball. So he get the shoes for the son, get the shorts for the son, get them all looking nice and everything else. But he said when he went to the games, his son would never be out there, like, practicing by himself, trying to become better or whatever. So when he became, what happened was there was another kid who didn't have a father who actually put in the extra work. Mm. So he said when he got out there, the boy was outdoing his son. So he told his son, he said, I know what my problem was. I should have left your mama. That's exactly what he said. So he said, because you would have put in the work. But since I'm here, you wouldn't put in the work. And so I think when some fellas, when they grow up, that's kind of like a mentality they get. I got to do this because now my dad's absent. So I got to step up and be the provider.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the mentality some of them take on.
She commented back and said that the void has to be filled. So... And that's what a lot of times women go wrong, because again, if we don't allow God to do and fill those voids, then we are doing our sons and our kids a disservice trying to fill shoes that we were not made to walk in.
Yeah.
But where the blessings come from?
God.
Yeah, it comes from God. But the Bible also tells us, when you look at it, Abraham, and you look at all the men in the Bible, they bless their children.
That's right. You're right about that.
Come on now.
They bless their children.
Come on.
I know you got to say something. But so I'm tagging on your train. Because so what happens when daddy's absent? God becomes the father.
Yeah.
And
he
so
should be.
Should be.
Yeah.
He should, God. But if mama's trying to father and not leaving room for God.
Exactly. Yeah.
You end up raising an effeminate son.
Yes. That's the truth.
Because you're so active trying to make your baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
And there is a thing in all men. And I know people get a little twisted. I'm not saying all men have to be these mean, whatever. I'm not saying that. But there is something in a boy that he needs to be nudged forcefully towards purpose and destiny and things to work on to bring out his inner strength. And you can't nurture. You can't baby him to adulthood.
Yes, that's right.
You gotta train him.
Boys
got to be trained.
Yeah.
They have to be guided and given things to do to help activate their unique genius and leadership skills.
Wow.
And so, I mean, you know, even if it is, you know, cooking. I know we just had the problem with buying your son a cooking, the kitchen set. He has to be giving something to do, because only when you get a project is your leadership activated.
Yeah.
Oh, what I was going to say.
You better remember.
They so deep in here. People, they deep in here. Janine said that, I had to learn not to place unreal expectations on my husband because he can't replace what my father could not be.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the problem is, we see it as a void, and that's why we have this craze. You and I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to be somebody's spiritual father.
I got
a daddy. He's gone now, but I don't need no more daddies. I may need you to cover me, but I don't need you to be my daddy.
Yeah.
My earthly father is gone, but my heavenly father will never leave me nor forsake me. So there's no void that you can fill that he can't fill.
Right.
So the problem is we seeking what we should seek in him and man. And that's why all of these guys are flocking to these churches where they see this man as somebody, they see him as daddy and not their shepherd.
They see him
as daddy and not their spiritual leader. So they're getting what they need, but they're not. They're getting what they thought they needed physically, but not what they needed spiritually.
Wow.
Because they see him as daddy, not a pastor.
Yeah. Let me
just drop this last piece.
Go ahead.
And so the responsibility for those of us who know better is to find a child.
Yeah.
And be a model and a mentor.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, God will use somebody. Now, I can go down the list. I can name them by name. The men, coaches, choir director, teachers, musicians, preachers that God supplied all throughout my teenage years to fill the void. And if it's Christians on here listening tonight,
hallelujah.
If you're listening to God, if you really have the heart of God, you're going to be in position to be that model to somebody. And they're going to grow up and say, you know, I don't know, but I've been watching you all my life. I remember, y'all ever seen somebody? I remember when Deacon such and such, he would show up to the church in the morning, open the door, and he would pray, and he would do it. And we're impressed by healthy role models.
So
I think it's up to us, even now as the next generation. I know Jesse, he's the elder of the group.
Man,
but Wayne Wright came in.
But I think we should be the example of
Dwayne. What's up, man?
What's up, man? What's up, man?
Come on, y'all.
What are you doing? My brother.
Yeah,
got
we
another,
had
got another studio guest. Here we go.
You got another studio guest, the bass player of all time, y'all.
He coming in. Come on in.
Dwayne
Wright.
Going
in front of the camera. There we go.
We got Dwayne Wright in here.
Mr. Jam for the Lamb himself.
Yeah. This my brother, y'all. Hey, Linda Pugh. So all of these things that we're talking about really helps, because feelings, emotions, and stuff like that derive from these deficiencies.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's really the conversation goes under what we're talking about is helping us as men deal with these issues, because we take these issues into the relationships that we're in.
Yeah.
The fact that the father wasn't there. Yeah. The fact that mom tried to cover for the father not being there. Yeah. So we take these characteristics and these traits into our relationships. And so what happens is the woman is now dealing with a man who don't know how to be a man, trying to figure it out as he goes
on.
And that's something that we cannot deal with as men. Men of God. That's the key word there. Men of God.
It's worse when you add God in there.
Oh, man.
I already got issues without him.
Yes.
Then I use God to you know, it becomes a whole nother mess.
Y'all. So listen, here's another question I wanted to ask y'all. Because a lot of, coming off of what I just said, a lot of men use tools and other things to cover their voids or to fill voids.
Yeah.
Why do y'all think that is? Why do men feel why do men do that? To cover their issues. Some use liquor, some go to other women, some use
that's like the statistics he just said. Some use sexual sexual promiscuity. Did I say it right?
You said it, Pastor.
Dwayne Wright, you wanna chime in?
I want to give him the mic.
Yeah, come on. D Dub.
D-Dub is in the house, y'all.
Find you
a microphone. Use this mic, man. They can hear you, dude. Come on, brother.
Well, you know, a lot of men end up searching. They search in the field, to fill voids, but they were never taught how to fill a void or how to be complete. Being yourself or being whole. So they're always looking for that piece of external pleasure that most times you'll never find. If you're not secure and comfortable with yourself, no matter what, whether it be drugs, it be alcohol, whether it be women, whether it be video games, whatever it is, you still not complete internally. So you're never going to be complete. You're just going to dive deeper into whatever your vice is.
Wow.
But and that's why you get alcoholics, and then they go to drugs, and then they get tired of doing weed, and they go to crack, and they get tired of doing crack, then they go to meth, and then popping pills because you're searching for that next high.
Wow.
To make it's you to blunt your pain of not being whole.
Right.
It's kind of ironic that you talk about pain, because men, for so many years, society has told us that if we stomp our toe, walk it off.
Don't cry.
You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you fall down, get up, walk it off. And you never really dealt with that pain. So now you might have a broken toe, but you never went to go get it fixed. Because you walking with a limp. Because that's how society taught. That's how men supposed to be. You supposed to just get up and walk it off. No, I got to deal with this issue.
Right.
Yeah. If I don't deal with it, it won't never be fixed. So that's the reason why I'm walking like I'm walking, because I'm still hurting because I got up because y'all said I have to get up, you know. So that's kind of,
and that overflows in our marriages because we were taught not to show emotions.
Yeah,
and here it is, and my wife is begging me to show some type of emotions, and I was like, no, I ain't no punk.
Yeah,
if you showed emotions in my house,
yeah,
wow,
You ain't no punk, what you?
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Stick your chest out and man up. Yeah. And now we took that, and your wife is struggling trying to get you to love her or her, tell her how she needs to love you, and we're suffering, and now we've built a generation of suffering men.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And like Jesse said before we started, we lead the pack.
Right.
Yeah.
And we leading the pack down the slippery slope because we don't know how to cry.
Right, yeah. Right.
And too, like y'all was saying, I believe too, a lot of times we teach men, we fall into the mistake of teaching them what we think a man should know, being tough.
Yeah.
To be strong, don't be no punk, like you said. But I believe if we teach them who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Responsible.
Yeah.
You hold the weight of it. Yeah. So we teach them who they are, then everything else that they need to learn will fall into place.
It'll
fall right into place.
Yeah. Right.
That's why men are so reluctant to worship.
Yeah.
Because we're taught not to be vulnerable, so we don't free ourselves to really give God our very best. That's why you're in church and you see men just sitting there,
right,
and they just doing this, and because we've been taught not to be vulnerable, and that is the best place for a man to be. I love for my kids to see me worshiping, because if I die today, they're gonna say Daddy did not care about folk looking at him while he worshiped.
Right.
God, the man who woke him up this morning, the man who provided for him, who brought him. I'm about to preach.
Come on. Touch your neighbor.
Feel your help coming on.
Dangers, toils, and snares.
Huh. Glory.
That's why we don't worship.
Wow.
And I believe worship is the antidote for a lot of these things that we're going through, because worship is an intimate encounter with us and God. And when we leave that experience, we cannot leave that experience the way we entered in. I see that all the time. So it all flows.
Wow. What key is that? C sharp?
I
feel you tuning up. I feel you tuning up.
Anna?
Now, this is an infamous question. Dwayne is the only one here that's not married yet, y'all, but we working on that.
Do it, God.
We going to get him a wife.
Yes. We're going to find somebody out in Houston, New York. Right? Y'all messed up. I got to hook my brother-in-law up with somebody. Do it, Lord. So we got to find somebody here, but he's the only one. But anyway, here's a question that I hear a lot of men kind of like have issues with. Mm. If your wife, if she makes more money than you,
That is a good question.
If she makes more money than you, does that make you less of the man that you are in your household if your wife makes more money?
Let me tell you, I'm going to sit back and relax. I am not tripping at all. If she make more money than me, baby, what do you need, honey? You need that? Okay, cool. All right. But, you know, I think we established that a long time ago. If she makes more money than me, because she said, this is my wife, I quote, you've been working all these years. And just because God blessed me to get to a position doesn't make you less than a man. Wow. So all these years you've been taking care of me, she said, it don't define our marriage.
Right.
So she said, I know that you're the man of the house, and whatever you say, go. I'm your helpmeet. And so that wasn't like me saying, I'm the man, you're going to do what I say. No, that came from her mouth. And she was like, look, I understand what God is trying to do, and I'm just following suit. So
I got to go ahead and touch this one.
Come on, Pastor T.
When I got with my wife, Dwayne's close friend, best friend, I was broker than broke. I wasn't just scraping the barrel. I broke the bottom of the barrel.
Oh man, the barrel was rusty.
She made more money than me the first 3 years of our marriage. But thanks be to God. But I don't want to get twisted on what I'm going to say. But I think we have to consider, I hate to get Bible on you, pre-fall, it was partnership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the provider. It was we providing together.
Yeah.
And so post-fall in the garden, you get what God says, hey, Adam, you're going to have to work.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to work hard
to
make the land produce. And between you and your wife, she going to want to be your boss, but you're going to be the boss. That's post-fall marriage.
Mm.
God is taking us to pre-fall marriage where we're in partnership. So for all these folks talking about, well, he got to make this amount of money, this is about partnership. This is about how do we work our house. So if she make more money than me, that's her, they're her responsibility in the partnership for that season and for however long.
Yeah.
How much money you make should not be a qualifier. It's are we working purpose together?
Yeah.
Marriage is a place of purpose. It's not about finances. It's not about kids. Who gonna take the kids to school? It's not about who gonna cook. Listen, it's about how do we work our unique circumstances and create a partnership that glorifies God. So God's trying to take us back so we can understand partnership. Because we're in a time now, women are making more money than they've ever made. The ladies are getting educated and working. We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
It's okay to be married to somebody who makes more money than you.
Yeah.
Men.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just do your part.
Do y'all hear that?
Do your part.
Just like what you said, I believe that God has already equipped you with everything you need.
Yeah.
Because when he gave Adam the garden, he said everything that was in that garden was everything he needed.
Yeah.
But all he had to do was tend to it.
Yeah.
So I believe when you are married because you obtain favor, it ain't about the position and money that you're making. It's about your position in God.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he gives the provision.
Yeah, he do.
He gives the provision. So if the provision is coming through the household, it is coming through the household. It don't have an agenda on what's coming in the household.
Right.
And it doesn't take your position because at the end of the day, it's still God's order.
Right.
It's still God's order. And we can't. Money does not determine God's order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. God determined his order.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He already set the order.
He already set the order.
Right.
So when he made money,
the order was already set.
Yeah. It was already set.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you were looking out there, y'all, if y'all are looking for a husband or wife, please do not make that one of your characteristics that he has to be making six figures or he has to be making eight figures. Because one thing I did learn being married to my wife, money does not make you happy in a marriage.
No.
It does not. I'm sorry. Money actually is one of the biggest issues.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So when the richest man get a divorce this year?
Yeah.
Last year?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. And he got money, couldn't keep his wife.
Y'all, let me say this. only because he couldn't keep her.
Yeah.
And only because of the way my life is, being in entrepreneurship and stuff like that, you know, the more money you make, the harder you have to work. The more time you spend working.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, I'm not coming at any women specifically, but you want to be loved and provided for.
Yeah.
And I'm about to say something, y'all.
Go ahead. Set yourself free.
If I got to go to work, I ain't got time to be hanging with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just don't have the time because you want to live good. You worry about how much money I'm making. There's always going to be a compromise. There's always the more I work, the less engaged I'm going to have to be at the house. My mind. In fact, what I need from you now is to serve me better.
Yes.
Because it's taking more out of me to perform because you want to live a certain way. And we got women who say, well, he got to make this amount of money and then he got to take me out on dates. And then he has to rub me at night, rub my feet at night after he didn't work 10 hours a day. And then he has to make sure he put his clothes in the hamper. And then that don't match. If you got this man slaving to provide a household for you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. But, you know, folks don't want to talk about it because our society, the women are loudest because there's more of them. Yeah, make sure you hear her heart. And I'm not saying you don't be sensitive to your spouse. What I'm saying is billions of dollars support women's causes. Millions of dollars support men's causes. They can get the most attention. And that's just what society's giving us right now.
Yes.
But you know, I'm piggybacking off of you.
No, you're good.
I'm piggybacking.
Somebody need to argue today. I might
start a stir up with this one, but
stir up to give.
Yeah, stir it up. The thing is, this is my belief that when a man comes home, that's supposed to be the clinic because he fights off so much leaving the house.
Yeah.
And then when he come back home, he's got to fight off you too. There's no time to heal to go back out the next day. So then you wondering why he's beat down and then why he's acting out the way that he's acting towards you because you never gave him time to heal.
Right.
Because the house is supposed to be like a safe zone,
yep.
A safe space. So when I come home from a day of work, no matter if I'm making more than you or less than you, I should come home and I'm like, this is my peace.
Right.
because that's what you are. You're my piece. You know, we'll help. You know, you might help me. So we have to come together so I can talk to you. Hey, baby, look, this was happening at my day today.
Right.
You know, this, that, and the other. I'm not asking for nothing. I'm just telling you about my day. Then you know, oh, baby, it's going to be all right here. I'm not saying that all women need to cook. I ain't saying all women need to clean. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is spiritually, we need to know that when we come home, that's a safe place. Mm-hmm. Because let's be honest, men that don't come home, mm-hmm. they don't want to deal with the hell that's at the house. No peace. So when they leave work, they like to go hang out at the corner and go drink with their buddies versus trying to come home. And then so I think that if women take the mentality, look, I need to be his peace when he comes home. So when you give him that peace, he's like, babe, I'm here. He like, as soon as he leave work, I got to get home.
Yeah.
I got to go. Yeah.
I can't.
You don't want a man that's at work like, man, when I leave here, man, I got to go deal with her today. And she just, oh my God, man. You know, say, fellas, what y'all doing tonight? Yeah. Hey, man, we're going to happy hour. I'm rolling with y'all. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Right. Then, because the way that he looks at it now, if he got to deal with you, same cussing at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Same cussing at 12 at night.
Right.
You know, it's the same cussing.
Right.
So I'm going to have to deal with you anyway. Yeah. I might as well have a good time with the partners and then come home.
And you
fussing out there. I go sleep.
I'll be
half gone. You know? But I think that if women would actually say, hey, I want to be the peace.
Yeah.
That I guarantee you, because I'm not going to lie to you, Kizzy Rochelle Franks, I gave her all her name.
Her whole name, my God.
Her whole name.
Noelle
so,
first.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, it was Noelle first, but I did right by it. I changed it.
Come on, man. You got to change that name.
But she always pride herself. Like, look, even when I was, you know, rapping or doing whatever I was doing, I always tell fellas, look, I can't be out with y'all all night.
Mm-hmm.
I can't fool with y'all. I got to get home.
Yeah.
And now that I done got older, I try to get home at 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
Kizzy fight, man. That's why he got to get home.
No,
I'm just messing with you.
No, Kizzy gives me glory.
That's why he got to get home.
Listen, I'm gonna say this, Jesse, and I'm gonna be done talking for the night. But to back up Frank's from the opposite side, if I'm kind of like if my wife's working all day,
men, then
I need to contribute to her peace.
Exactly.
That's a part of being a good husband. I need to be a part of. What don't stress her out?
Yeah,
if
that's true.
I work from home a lot, so if I'm at home all day, working from home, and my wife is gone working, then when she come home, I ought to have a few dishes clean. You know what I mean? Because she the one been from home. I've been here. So the other part, you say, well, I'm the man. She need to cook. She need to clean. Not if she working all day.
Yeah.
Not if she work 10 hours a day and then got to come home and you want her to cook and then you want her to touch you. Come on, dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be partnership.
What do you mean, touch, Reverend?
I mean,
the spirit of the Lord touches.
I believe we forgot. We lost the sight of the purpose of why we date and why we are getting married.
Yeah, that's good.
Because there is a purpose.
Yeah.
Whether we look at it and we look at that scripture where it say the two shall become one flesh.
Yeah.
And I think we misconstrue that scripture because the purpose of it is to reproduce.
Yeah.
We have to that's reproduction.
Right.
To build God's kingdom.
Yeah.
So what we do when he say the two become one flesh, he's talking really becoming one intimately.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't about, oh, I know you so well, we one person. No, you are two people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think so what we do is we forget the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we put all these other desires into what we desire from the relationship and forget God's purpose and God's plan for the marriage or the relationship that we're getting into. And once we screw that up, then you ain't got no peace.
Yeah.
Because everybody's trying to get their own will fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's going by the order of God or the plan of God.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, I'm a living witness. When God is involved, when he is true, when you truly make him the center, it's like that. My wife did an illustration the other day. It's like somebody, I'm on the left and she's on the right. But if we both getting our information and our source from God, it creates that triangle.
It binds
it together.
Yeah.
God is the binding together of everything in that relationship.
Come on.
Forget the purpose of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man.
D-Dub, what you got?
Say a word.
I'm in total agreement.
I agree. So amen.
I'm not married, but I've been in a relationship for a good while.
And I understand, like, peace is important.
Yeah.
Especially, I'm working in the music industry, and I'm around noise.
All the time.
From the moment I leave my house, noise.
I feel your pain.
To the moment I get back home, nothing but noise. Yes. So when I come home, I need, even if it's not a whole night of peace, I need give me an hour.
It's an hour.
Yes.
Let me decompress.
Yeah.
Let me heal from the wounds I took out in the street all day.
Yes, yes.
Because it's a fight. Every day is a war.
Yes.
As black men, we gotta worry about being shot, targeted by police, then being targeted by other black men.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got all of that on our backs, and then have to work, and then have to provide, and worry about the bills being paid. So when I come home, I should be able to sit down and do nothing for an hour.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And not, you know, and have that peace. Amen. So that peace is important, man. Like, the house is the sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be your place.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to go to a corner and hide.
to get peace.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially where that's where you're paying the bills, you're working hard in the street to have this place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this place should be somewhere safe. Where I want to go. It should be sacred for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
A lot of women don't realize. I have five women saying the same thing, y'all. A lot of women don't realize that this is a way a man trusts from his peace.
Yeah.
If I can give my wife, this is why I come home. And it's my job to come home when I finish work.
Yes.
I make sure I go home to my wife, because when I give her what I need to give her, she gives it back to me in prayer. She gives it back to me and gives me that peace. Uh-huh. So that what that does is now open me up to trusting her more. So more that I give her everything now. Because
what else she give you, Doc?
Whatever I ask for.
The glory.
The glory.
She gives me worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hey.
D-Day, you got something to look forward to. You know? When you rush home.
Yes. Look for the glory. Right. Look for the glory. Yes.
The glory of God is upon me.
Yes. Jesus.
You talking about free worship?
Y'all been good.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all been good to now.
Listen, I could turn this mug a good corner as to be a whole bunch of happy people if we went there. But I'm going to save y'all tonight.
We ain't saying nothing. I told
y'all. Listen, y'all. February 19th, y'all, we partnered with Love Fellowship and these wonderful pastors. We're doing a love ball here in Houston at the Love Fellowship. We're setting up like a night out for your relationships. And this is what we're going to be doing. We have a panel going on. So all the women, and these are the people that you see tonight, that you heard tonight, they will be on the panel for that night.
Cool. So y'all do this. Y'all, if you don't have a date, comment. And I'll find you a date. Just comment, I need a date. I promise you, I'll get somebody there for you.
I'm going to play some. What kind of music y'all playing?
Everything.
I think we need some Ron Isley on that night.
I got a saxophone player playing tonight, so he's going to be playing that jazz, everything.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be wonderful.
Take Me to the King.
We're not playing. Well, we're going to Take Me to the King after, you know what I'm saying, because after we
get out the flesh.
Yeah, after we,
okay.
We got to bring it back, because the whole purpose. That's the tool that we
You still can take me to the King, but it just take me to the king size bed. That's just trying to. Hey, glory.
You can take it to the King, all right.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all. Hey, y'all. We got a bunch of comments and some comments that we
y'all
that we
got
missed.
Lady Free over here choked up, man.
She interceding.
But listen, y'all. This can't stop, y'all, because we got questions coming in and we're not gonna have a lot of time. I really want to bring these guys back, y'all.
Again. We didn't get all your questions, did we? You got more questions on the paper?
There's some over there that the wife got to read, and I don't know. Because they were putting Tisha put one in lasagna. But y'all, listen, man. I mean, we thank D Dub. He out here recording, and he took time out of his schedule to come hang out with his brother. And he's real busy. When I say this guy's busy, I don't think he got time to sleep. Because he play for everybody, y'all. I'm serious, God knows. But thank God for these guys, man. I thank God for these pastors who took time out of their busy schedule to come and be a part of this discussion, man. And this is what's needed today, y'all. I mean, this information. We're not saying we know everything
at all.
We're just saying from our experiences and what God gave us that we can just share it through conversation.
Yeah.
So I just thank God for each and every one of these pastors who came out and shared with us tonight, y'all. And listen, We got to do this again. This is the beginning of something great. And that's one thing I love about Pastor BJ is because he's willing to do what it takes to do ministry. And you want to be around people like that because,
yes.
I mean, it only helps you step up in ministry.
Yes.
So I thank God for this, Pastor Wright. I really do. This is my pastor here, Dwayne. I thank God for this guy, man. Seriously.
My guy.
Yeah, he been looking out for you, bro.
I'm trying, man. Yeah, Houston is hard, but hey.
Yeah, it's hard in Houston. I promise you. Yeah, right. The people, I'm not talking about y'all.
It's all right.
But y'all different out here.
Terrence, we talk about them all the time.
Yeah. All the time.
So listen, we're going to close in prayer, y'all. I mean, we going to ask.
What's your pastor?
Pastor Heath, when I say he prayed, yeah. When he prayed last time, God knows, we almost went in the heavens. So we're going to ask him to send us home. Please, y'all, like and share this video.
Please.
Like and share. Check us on YouTube. Thank y'all for tuning in. Pastor BJ, come on, send us home.
Father God, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for just being our God. Lord, we thank you for imparting the wisdom to share with the people. Lord, we pray for each and every individual that was on this podcast today, and we pray that we ask that you deposit back into them what they poured out to your people over the airwaves today. Lord, let whatever that was said touch somebody, Lord, where they need to be touched. And Lord, we know that you are a healer. We know that you are a provider. We know that you are everything we need and some. So Lord, there may be someone that is watching right now that are in the need of something, a major breakthrough. Lord, meet them right where they need to be met. Touch them right where they need to be touched. Lord, we pray for Pastor Jay and Lady Free. Lord, they come on week after week and give us what we need to continue to represent your kingdom, husband and wife, like you love the church. So, Lord, I pray for them, cover them, crown them from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. Lord, we bind any demonic influence that tries to come against them, that tries to attack their personal marriage, their ministry. Lord, we bind it right now, Lord. We're putting on the full armor of God for them to bind what you have set out for them to do. Lord, if it's your will, I will do what I can to help push them to their destiny, because Lord, they are doing what you set out to do. Not too many people are doing this, but they have given up their Tuesday night, every night, to impart wisdom into us. So Lord, I pray that you cover them, everyone that is connected to them, everyone that is attached to them. Lord, I pray that you bless their going out and their coming in. Pastor Rob, Pastor Terrence, DW, Lord, whatever they are in the need of, Lord, if it's resources to keep the ministry going, touch them right there, Lord. If it's a family matter, touch them right there, Lord. If it's a relationship matter, Lord, touch them right there, Lord. You know, the Bible says you know what we need even before we ask. So, Lord, I pray that you meet us. You meet the needs that we don't even think we need. Mm-hmm. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Shift real talk, y'all.
Shift real talk.
Thanks for watching.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.